Amen. Sunday school. The disciple of Paul is not around today. So, I am also a disciple of Paul. So, we'll continue to look at, amen, the Pauline gospel. And Apostle Paul was not teaching us another gospel. It is the gospel of salvation. Praise the Lord. So in our Sunday school today, it's a Bible study. So we'll do some Bible reading. Amen. It's nothing new, but just to balance our understanding. I have started a series of our Rapture Watch, the Rapture Watch, which we air every Saturday. We repeat the broadcast on the Bright TV every Saturday. We are taking the a series that I titled the Parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will look at what every parable means. There are about 38 parables that Jesus Christ spoke. So we'll try to understand them one after the other, one after the other. So I started it this last Saturday. And I know many of us, for one reason or the other, if you don't catch it during the rapture, what we will come during the Sunday school and try to repeat them again and believe that you will also catch it. For today is an introduction of that make us understand what is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we'll be explaining the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? Praise the Lord. Remember that salvation is a mystery. Amen. Take note very well. Salvation is a mystery. Why is it a mystery? It is God's agenda encoded. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 begin to note these scriptures from verse 6 to verse 10.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world.
He's talking about the gospel that he was preaching. The teaching that he was teaching everywhere, it says it is a wisdom. It is a wisdom. But it is not the wisdom of this world. It's not philosophy.
Nor of the princes of this world.
You cannot get it in any school. No professor can teach this wisdom.
That come to naught.
Uh-huh.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
It is a hidden wisdom. He hid it. It's hidden. Church, salvation is hidden. Hey, hey. Salvation is hidden. No matter how anybody tries to do anything to make you understand salvation, it is only God that has that ability to make you to know. It is hidden. Go ahead.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
Uh-huh.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
If they had known this mystery, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because by the time you get to Zechariah chapter 12, this same man that they crucified, when God opened their eye, you will see them, you know, crying. Is it our Savior we crucified? Was it our God we killed like that? Please finish reading.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But what?
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen. If it is a hidden wisdom, then he dropped it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. A statement there where he referred to Christ as what?
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Who is Christ?
The power of God and the wisdom of God.
Power to do what and wisdom to do what? That is why not too many people know who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. Now, if you go to Luke, Matthew chapter 16, the mystery continues. Verse 13 to verse 18. What did he say? Listen when to Jesus, that popular scripture. It's popular, but listen, it's a Bible study.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
That is why he is the wisdom of God. Is he hidden? Who he is he hidden?
He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona.
Fisherman, he said, fisherman. He didn't go to school. He didn't go to school of theology. He said, fisherman. But he knew who. He spoke. Hallelujah. He spoke. But he was even saying something. If you ask Peter, how did he know? He doesn't know. But somehow, he found himself saying it. You know, I have experienced this before. I've experienced it on a number of, at least I can remember up to three occasions. I remember when I first began to evangelize, I caught the message. But I knew that God is not three. It's not three. This is a Trinity thing. No, it's one. But how do I explain Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our image. That scripture needed explanation. And where I went to minister, they were big, big men. Intellectuals. We gathered in a lawn. We sat down. And then I was teaching them. So one of them stood up and asked me a question that I was praying nobody should ask me because I will have no answer. Okay, what of Genesis 1:26? My heart skipped. And suddenly I had myself given the answer. I can never forget it. Hallelujah. I was hearing myself given the answer. Something took over my voice and answered, and everybody kept quiet. They nodded their head like that. They didn't know that even me myself, I was learning it for the first time. And so I was so confused. I said, gentlemen, I think we have to end the teaching for today. I said, praise the Lord. What did he say to Peter?
Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona.
Yes.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter.
Yes.
And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Hallelujah. The emphasis here is that the revelation you received did not come from any man. No man can make you know who Jesus Christ is. No matter how I stand here and teach and teach and teach, unless God opens your understanding, you will be looking at me like this. That is why one of our prayer points as believers is, Lord, grant me understanding of the mystery of redemption. I want to know Jesus. Because he's not just a man of history. If you get to know Jesus as a historic figure, That is history, like you know of Mungo Park, you know of George Washington, you know of Sadona Awolowo Ezekiel. It's history. That is academic knowledge. Because such knowledge does not affect your life in any way. But the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is a rock, the foundation of our Christian faith. That knowledge must not be downplayed at all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is who he is. When we talk about mystery of salvation, it's mysterious. Apostle Paul went further, even concerning you and I. The salvation for the Gentiles is a mystery again. And that mystery is most exciting to me the day it was quickened to me. And let me quickly let you know, hallelujah, that the privilege we have in this ministry is great. The privilege that we have here, I am telling you that in this church, there is a teaching ministry. I mean teaching with authority. Why? Because most of these things we bring to you, they are not written in any book anywhere. So up to the extent that what we know is even correcting William Branham's teaching. With all due respect to him. And when I say so, it's no pride. And that is the problem that these blind people have. And please, when I say blind, I must not say it in a way that looks as if I worked to achieve it. It's God that blinding them. Yeah. It's a privilege that your eye open to see something. And that defines our faith. That defines our faith. Our teaching love. And something very interesting happened between somebody that obviously, you know, intended to finish me and mess me up. But God gave me victory over them. Now they are before me and is now at my mercy. They are now at my mercy. And I did something that my wife was shocked. She said, why? I said, we have been teaching love. I said, I cannot be a true teacher until I catch the revelation myself. It is a revelation of this power of love I have that I am also teaching and applying. I said, it was opportunity to show them love. That is why I was relating like that. But see, I hope they will not blah, 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 blah. They have not yet apologized. They have not said sorry. And I quickly said, listen, even God is not interested in your saying sorry. God is interested in repentance. Stop it. That's all. God is interested. You can kneel down. Oh, cry. Father, I will never do it again. I am sorry. I have fornicated. It means nothing to God. What you are saying, I confess my sin. I will not do it. It means nothing. What God is interested in is that bad thing you are doing, stop it. That is the meaning of repentance. Repentance is not with mouth. Repentance is that I will stop doing that thing. It's a revelation. The impact of revelation. That's why it's so important that don't just be hearer of God's word, but be doer of God's word. But you cannot do the word of God if you have no revelation of what it means. So when we teach some of these things, try to apply it. The salvation of the Gentiles, when I caught the revelation that the mystery of redemption, all our great, great, great teachers, that when we are following and repeating and following and repeating, what they told us that the mystery of the of spoken of Apostle Paul, and even in Revelation 10, 7, and Ephesians chapter 3, he said that mystery there is the seven church ages. How that, you know, those seven dispensations and people don't know it. We were teaching it, but one day I was studying and I came across Romans 11 verse 24.
For if thou art cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature.
You see, and that is salvation of Gentiles. Yes?
And were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree.
Now, that was the key. God opened my eyes to say, I stood like I read it. Grafted what?
Contrary to nature.
Grafted what?
Contrary to nature.
That I've never had anybody preach it before.
That's right. Fresh
from and food. That is the mystery of the salvation for the Gentiles.
Amen.
If I were a writer, that would be in the bookshelves all over the world.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So what did he say in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1?
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
Yes.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is giving me to you all, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
The what?
The mystery.
The what?
The mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
There is a knowledge that Apostle Paul had of the knowledge of this Jesus Christ, the mystery. It's a mystery. Brethren, it's a mystery. Don't just be a church goer. Know this Jesus. Know who he is. Go ahead.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow
this
heirs.
This is the mystery. Go ahead.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
And of the same body.
And of the same body.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
By the gospel.
Whereof I was made a minister. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
It is unsearchable. That is, see, you can never finish knowing it.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
There is a fellowship of this great mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God.
If from the beginning of the world, nobody knew anything about it.
Had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus
Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Go ahead.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom
it
of
is,
God.
It is a great wisdom of God.
According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
According to the eternal purpose, where did he propose it?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus
our Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation.
Praise the Lord. Verse 12 again.
In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
You see what? The faith of him, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, gives us confidence and gives us access to the throne of grace. Knowledge is power. They that know their God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, in Matthew 16, we read, hallelujah. The emphasis there is, who is Christ? Who is he? Why will he not ask? Why will he say, flesh and blood did not reveal who I am to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven? And Luke narrated it in Luke chapter 10 from verse 17 to verse 24.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
He sent the 70 disciples to go and preach the gospel and do miracles, signs and wonders, and they came back with joy, mighty miracles, signs and wonders. And what did he say?
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall...
I've explained that verse before, verse 18 again.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning.
In verse 17, what did he say?
And the 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, yes, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
That is that we are rejoicing of the power, miracles, signs, and wonders that were happening through the name of Jesus. And instead of Jesus to, you know, commend them further, he went deeper in verse 18.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
How will that be the reply to them? What he's saying here is, you are boasting of anointing. Satan was more anointed than all of you. Satan, if you get to know who Lucifer was, Satan was, he was number one angel. He was the closest angel to God himself. He was decorated with a kind of beauty that has not been described for any human being or any spirit, any angel. He had all that you had, more than what you had, but see, despite that, he fell. That's what he was telling them. Then the next verse 19.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
This is it. I will give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, cast out devils.
And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means
hurt you. Nothing will hurt you. Nothing will hurt you. Listen, we are doing Bible study. What did he say?
Notwithstanding, he did in this rejoice.
This is not what gives the children of God the joy. This is not why we rejoice, that what?
That the spirit are subject unto
you. We don't rejoice because we cast out devils and demons bow before us.
But rather what? Rejoice.
This is where you are to rejoice.
Because your names are written in
heaven. Okay, if your names are written in heaven, how will you know? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And he prayed. What was that his prayer?
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent.
Did you hear me? I said, how will you know that your name is written? The answer is here, in heaven.
Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes.
What has he done?
Revealed them
revelation. What did he do?
Revealed
revelation.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed
good. Who did he reveal it to?
Babes.
Who did he reveal it to?
Babes.
Babies, there is nature. That is why the first thing God does with you before he begins to give you any revelation is conversion. He changes your nature. Remove pride. Change your spirit. Rearrange you, because the carnal man can receive not the spirit, things of the spirit. See? It is not academics. It's not oratory. Oratory power is philosophy. Oh, glory be to God. Please read on.
Verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father.
Now, the reason why he said, nobody reveal it to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven, to know who I am. This is why he said it in verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knows who the Son is.
Nobody knows who Jesus Christ is.
But the Father.
Many of us, all we know about Jesus is history. It's written in a book called Bible. But who he really is this, the Father that knows him. Oh, glory be to God. So this knowledge is not academic knowledge. It's a revelatory knowledge. And go on.
And who the Father is.
Nobody knows who the Father of Jesus Christ is. But it's only Jesus that knows him.
And he to whom the Son will reveal
him. And unless Jesus reveal who his Father is, you will never know. Praise the Lord. And he told the disciples.
And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately.
Privately now, not openly.
Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
Blessed are the eyes. Because they don't even know who he is, who they are dealing with. They don't even know him.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
It's a prophets and kings, including King David. They saw things in the spirit, including Abraham. They saw this great period of grace. They saw it in prophecy, in dreams, in revelation. Didn't Abraham see a city? Amen. Hallelujah. He said that this Isaiah prophesied that a virgin will give birth. Was he alive to see the birth of that virgin birth? He didn't see it. And so many prophecies. God himself will give you a sign. Unto you a son is born, a child is born, a son is given. And oh, glory be to God. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. The language of revelation. As I speak now. Amen. Just hang it there. Maybe let me give you a thought. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 again. As I just mentioned that, something strike me. I hope I have time to complete this. What did he say?
For unto us a child is born.
Uh-huh.
And unto us a son is given.
Listen, oh.
And the government.
Wait. Unto us who is born?
A child is born.
Unto us, he repeated, who is he given?
A son is given.
There's a difference between a child and a son. We will take that in another Sunday school. Praise the Lord. Because you have to be a son first before the next statement follows. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government is not put upon the shoulder of a child. Because a child is in the learning process. The son is the adoption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is revealed to who?
Babes.
Babes. If you are going to walk with God, you must be converted and be like a child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, you now understand why he said in John chapter 6, from verse 41 to verse 45, let's see what he's saying there.
The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?
Uh-huh.
How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven?
Can you see? If they had known who he is, as far as the Jews were concerned, who is he?
Son of Joseph.
Son of a carpenter. Amen. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them,
murmur not among yourselves.
Uh-huh.
No man can come to me.
You will never know who Jesus Christ is. You can't come and accept him.
Except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Brethren, if you catch the impact of this revelation, you will remove pride from yourself. You will so appreciate God that he himself draw you to know Jesus. It's a great privilege, brethren. It's a great privilege. And nothing to boast about it. Nothing. And I always remind God this fact, that there is nothing I did that made you to write my name in the book of life. But there was something you saw. I said, for the reason of that thing that you saw, please let your mercy continue with me. Because I discovered there is nothing I can do to remain saved. He saved me before I knew him. And if he saved me before I knew him, what am I going to brag about? I did not earn salvation. I did not achieve salvation. It is by election. And not the type of political election. Because you campaign for it. He selected me by himself, according to his purpose, Why will I not serve him? Oh, worship him with your hands again. That's why we owe him. Hallelujah. Read on, please.
Verse 45.
Yes.
It is written in the prophets.
Now, this is it. This is it.
And they shall be all taught of God.
Who will teach them?
God.
Who will teach them?
God.
That is the meaning of revelation.
Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father.
Every man that the Father has taught. That is the meaning of that statement.
Cometh unto me.
They are the only one that will come to Christ. When they say come, there is no come to church. It's a relationship with Christ. Praise the Lord. And so if you go to verse 60, up to verse 68.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said.
When they heard all that he was saying in that chapter 6.
This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you?
Oh, all this one that I'm talking, you are all stumbled, you are all angry, you are all, it's confusing you. What did he added again?
What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?
Not be Joseph upon you. Where you there before? This is Jesus. Go on.
It is the spirit that quickeneth.
You see?
The flesh profited nothing.
You see?
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Oh, glory be to God. Go on.
But there are some of you that believe not.
Uh-huh.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him.
And they were all, because the revelation that Peter had, Judas didn't have it. And even Peter himself, it was, in fact, it was a manifestation of the spirit. When he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. It was a manifestation of the Spirit. How do I know? Why did you deny that Jesus, if you have that revelation? So he spoke in tongue. It was the spirit of, it was the spirit of prophecy that came to him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he came back to himself. He himself didn't understand it. If he understood it, it will have reflected in the way he will stand with him. But after he understood what happened, what Jesus thought then came to pass in the upper room, he went back to that same place that he denied Christ and held a crusade. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the power of revelation. Hallelujah. Have we finished reading?
Verse 65.
Yes.
And he said,
read it up to verse 68.
Therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it are given unto you.
Except it is given unto you by God himself. You can never answer that call in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Before you can answer that call, the Father will draw you. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever are those that God will draw. That is the mystery. That is the mystery. The rest will only be religion. And he has many ways of drawing the people. But please, let me just tell my message today. Praise the Lord. Finish reading.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked.
From that time.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away?
Okay, now.
Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Where are we going?
Thou hast the words of eternal
life. You have the words of eternal life. This word that you are speaking, if anybody follow it, you will receive eternal life. Praise the Lord. And so we are looking at trying to understand the kingdom of God. And this Jesus had to say in Matthew 13, in the few minutes that is left, let's see how far we can go. From verse 10, remember that by the time he came to verse 9, he had given the parable of the soils. That is the first parable in that chapter. And what did he say in verse 9?
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, verse 10.
And the disciples came and said unto him,
yes.
Why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Why are you speaking in parables?
He answered and said unto them,
hear his answer.
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
My emphasis, remember, we are trying to explain what it means. Our topic is explaining the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I know that as we read in time past from people we believe were authorities, we've always believed and thought that kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God means two different things. In fact, one of the authorities says the kingdom of God is the millennial reign. And another one, and that the kingdom of heaven is the church, spiritual. Natural kingdom and spiritual kingdom. The physical kingdom is the kingdom of God, and the spiritual one, which is the church, is the kingdom of heaven. But no. From what I want to bring out now, it's a wrong explanation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What did he say again in verse 10?
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
What is the reason?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you.
Who gave it to them?
The Father.
Who gave it to them? The Father. The Father gave it to you. It is ordained for you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them,
it is not.
Who are these them? The multitude. Amen. Many are called, yet few are chosen. Amen. It is given revelation. And in verse 34 and 35, listen.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables.
Uh-huh.
And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying,
it was already prophesied. What was the prophecy?
I will open my mouth in parables.
He said he will open his mouth in parables.
I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
And how will he utter it? In parables. And so these things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world, he has revealed it to us. And that is why we'll be looking both in the Rapture Watch series and in our Sunday school teachings when the Pauline disciple has finished his own teaching. We will continue. Praise the Lord. So let's quickly look at it. Hallelujah. He says, it is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. So what is this kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God? Does it mean the same thing? Remember that in Matthew chapter 10, hallelujah, verse 5 to verse 8, what did he say?
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying,
the 12 disciples he sent them forth. What did he say?
Go not into the way of the Gentiles,
uh-huh,
and into any city of the Samaritans, uh-huh, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
What were they to preach?
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Is at hand. And verse 8.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received.
That is what he armed them to go with, to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist earlier also in Matthew chapter 3, the first two verses, verses 1 and 2.
In those days came John the Baptist,
uh-huh,
preaching in the wilderness of Judea,
uh-huh,
and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
John the Baptist also repeated the same thing, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And hallelujah. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, Apostle Paul made a statement there.
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
What did he call the kingdom?
Not in word, but
no,
in the kingdom of God.
Which kingdom?
Of God.
So this is why we begin to hear him, the word used again, the kingdom of God. If he say it is not in words, but what?
But in power.
So you are not talking about the millennial here. You're not talking about the millennial here. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, include this in your prayer. What did he say?
Thy kingdom come.
What did he say?
Thy kingdom come.
That is why he say he's referring to the millennial. No. Why did he say thy kingdom come? What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14 and verse 17. It's not in meat but in drink. What is the kingdom of God?
But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Yes.
But righteousness and peace and joy.
So it is not millennium referred to here. It is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And above all, Luke 17 verse 21.
Neither shall they say, lo, yeah, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within
you. The kingdom of God is within you because it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And if Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Mark chapter 1 verse 15. Now, upon...
And say, yes. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
But John said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here again he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ made this statement.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
So the kingdom of God, the same him that said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, go and preach the gospel. He is now using the word, the kingdom of God is within you. It has come unto you. And so in Matthew 16 verse 33, the popular scriptures, where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is that same kingdom of heaven that you are supposed to seek after. Praise the Lord. Look at these two scriptures. Matthew 7:21.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Again.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
But what?
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
And Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, concerning entering into the kingdom.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. So what is the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Is the same thing. Hallelujah. It is the same thing whether you call it kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. What are you referring to? You are referring to this. The kingdom is a domain ruled by a king. We are talking of, hallelujah, a people of another nation. What is the kingdom of God? It is the church of God on earth. It is the church. Because he's the one that rules us. He's the one that guides us. And that church, hallelujah, is the agenda of God. And this agenda of the mystery of getting back his lost sheep that he lost from the Garden of Eden is the mystery of redemption. Hallelujah. It's the mystery of redemption. But it is a hidden secret. It's in the mind of God. And he revealed it from what? Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and verse 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Uh-huh.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Uh-huh. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. But herein is the righteousness of God revealed.
From what?
From faith to faith.
The righteousness of God is revealed from what?
From faith to faith.
From faith to faith. And then you'll understand in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. What did he say?
But without faith.
Without revelation. Revelation.
It is impossible to please him.
It is impossible to please God if you don't have revelation. In that same Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4.
See by faith.
By revelation. What did he do?
Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
That his own was accepted because he did it by revelation. Which revelation? Revelation of the proper way to worship God. The proper way to go for the atonement of your sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He called the revelation, oh glory be to God. And his own was accepted. It's a revelation, and only God can give that revelation. So where is our boasting? Nobody that is truly saved, that has actually met with God, ever gets proud. Because every day, I have told you this, and I hope you'll understand what I mean. There are several ways that God can humble his children. If you think you are stubborn, he knows how to humble every one of us. For whom he loves, he chastens. He can humble you through a horrible sickness. Go everywhere. You will not get cured. But when you come back to him, then he will remove it. After that, he did it to Nebuchadnezzar. He did it to Nebuchadnezzar. After that, see the comment of Nebuchadnezzar. He stopped boasting that he got everything by his power. He knew there is a God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, Lord, don't humble me with a rod. Don't humble me using problem and frustration. Let me know you. It will humble me. Give me revelation of who you are. Because the revelation of who Christ is, who this God is, will keep you humble, humble, humble. Because you will soon discover, but who am I that this great God will take note of? That's why that psalmist said, who is man that thou art mindful of? When you consider, is that song that I said, when I consider the works of my God, the moon and the star, the path that they trod, he said, the sheep and the ox, the animals, and the beasts of the field, he said, all of these wonders makes me know that he is real. How great is that? Can we stand up? How great is his one? He's the greatest one that ever was had. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Hallelujah. How great is our God.
How great
is his one.
He's the greatest one.
He's the greatest one that ever was had.
He rolled back.
He rolled. Hallelujah. That is the God we serve. That's what we must study. He said, I come in the volume of the books written of me. He in the volume. He says, search the scripture now. But he's saying so, but the same him knows that they will never know unless he opened their eyes. So when your eyes are open, amen. Those of you who are evangelists, we don't go to condemn anybody. Amen. People with the right knowledge, they don't go with pride. You go to help somebody, maybe you will see what you have seen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because that revelation, everything about the Christian faith is a revelation. You heard what Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning communion service. He said, you come in the estate that you are, malice, grumble, jealousy, envy, hatred, and all that. They still come, and then all of you are tearing the body of Jesus and saying, we are one. He said, you do it not discerning. That is, you don't understand the Lord's body. It's a revelation. If you look, hallelujah, Brother David. Amen. You are Idoma, right? From Benue State. Eh? You are even closer to me. Brother who? Brother Matthew. Don't get rubber name. What's your name? You don't need to tell me that you are Igbo. Now, and I'm going to say brother Onyinye, and that is the greatest hypocrisy in the Christian faith. Can you call somebody your brother and you are finishing him again? It's lack of revelation. And that's the greatest problem in the Christian faith, and that is the truth. That we just come and do religion. I'm just serving my God. You can never serve your God. We must serve God together. I just go to church. I don't do my own. Who is my mother? I don't pay my tithe. And they go, na lie. It's the evidence you are not part of the body. The hand can never say, I did my own. Time to bow funko. Would the hand be needed? Me, I tell me my own leg. You must carry the rest of the body. Praise the Lord. It's because you don't understand the body of Christ. And the reason is because it's a mystery. Hymn number 69, open my eyes. It's our prayer. That I may see the glimpses of truth thou hast for me. It's a prayer. Oh, yes. Everybody now.
Open my eyes that I may see. Oh, glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Oh, bless me, my hands that was.
It's a key. Revelation is a key. Oh, yes.
Silently I wait. Ready, Lord.
Don't see that way.
Open my eyes. Illuminate. Dear
prayer. It's a prayer. A great privilege.